Kofi Jana Balaba, Yirvanadari. So da na 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 braja jana ranjana. Yaso da na 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 braja jana ranjana. Samuna tiha vanachari. Yamuna tiha vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjaviari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjaviari. Jayam Vishnupad Brahmahang Saprabhidakasharya Asadhera Siddhu Shri Shriman His Divine Grace Shilesi Bhakti Vedanta Swamira Srila Prabhupada Kijai Ko Premanande Hare, all glories to the Assam devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhute Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamita Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskatya De Siddharne. Oma Ganatamarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasakans Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindavaneshri Vrishubhanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, The Description of the Kingdom of God, Text Number 30. Tan Viksha Vata Rashanan Chatur Kumaran Ridan Dasharda Vayasa Vidita Atmatatvan Vetrena Cha Askalayatam A Tat Arhanan To Teja Nihasya Bhagavat Pratikula Sh Shilau Tanriksha Vatarasanam Chaturakuran Tumaran Tandikshavata Rasanam Satura Kumaran Vridanda Sharda Vayaso Vitatatma Tatvan Vetrena Chaskalayatam Atad Arhanam Stau Tejo vihasya bhagavat pratikula shilau Tandrikshavata rasanam chatura kumaran Ridanda sarda vayaso viditatma vitatvan Vetrena Chaskalayatam Tararhanam Stau Tejo Vihasya Bhagavat Pratikula Shila Shilao Sarda vayaso viditatma tatvam Vena jaskalayatam tararanam stau Vachya bhagavad pratikula shilo Matijis Rasana Dhyanja Vidarayana
Vidyatma Shara
Vyatma Dhyam Vyatma Dhyam Vyatma Tan them, Viksha, after seeing, Vatarashanan, naked, Chatura, four, Kumaran, boys, Ridan, aged, Dasharda, 5 years. Vayasa, appearing as the of the age. Vita, Vidita, had realized. Atmatatvan, the truth of the self. Vetrena, with their staffs. cha also askalayatam forbade atat arhanan not deserving such from them. Tao, those two porters, Teja, glories, Vihasya, disregarding the etiquette, Bhagavad Pratikula Shilao, having a nature displeasing to the Lord. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The four boy sages, who had nothing to cover their bodies but the atmosphere, looked only 5 years old, even though they were the oldest of all living creatures and had realized the truth of the self. But when the porters, who happened to possess a disposition quite unpalatable to the Lord, saw the sages, they blocked their way with their staffs, despising their glories, although the sages did not deserve such treatment at their hands. Purport. The four sages were the firstborn sons of Brahma. Therefore, all other living entities, including Lord Shiva, are born later and are therefore younger than the four Kumaras. Although they look like five-year-old boys and travel naked, the Kumaras were older than all other living creatures and had realized the truth of the self. Such saints were not to be forbidden to enter the kingdom of Vaikuntha, but by chance the doorman objected to their entrance. This was not fitting. The Lord is always anxious to serve sages like the Kumaras, but in spite of knowing this fact, the doorman astonishingly and outrageously prohibited them from entering. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhute Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarne Tanvikshavata Rasanam Satura Kumara Ridanda Sharda Vayaso Viditatma Vitatvan Vetrena Chaskalayatam Tadaharhanam Stau Tejo Vihasya Bhagavat Pratikulya Shilau. The four boy sages who had nothing to cover their bodies but the atmosphere looked only 5 years old, even though they were the oldest of all living creatures and had realized the truth of the self. But when the porters, who happened to possess a disposition quite unpalatable to the Lord, saw the sages, they blocked their way with their staffs, despising their glories, although the sages did not deserve such treatment at their hands. Here's a description of the kingdom of God. And the four Kumaras, they're about to get their opportunity to first time to see Lord Narayan. And as they're approaching the gate to enter into Vaikuntha, they're being stopped. And this description is from many different points of view. Here the description seems to be somewhat from the point of view of the narrator. He's describing the four Kumaras' reactions to the doorkeepers, and there's some opinion being given here that the doorkeepers were not acting properly. Later on, of course, we'll find out that things are not as simple as we may think they are. Actually becomes quite complicated, especially when different points of view are explained. That Lord Krishna, he had one point of view, and the Kumaras had one point of view at the beginning. Later on, their point of view changes after hearing from Krishna and after becoming pure devotees. The doorkeepers had a different point of view and many, many different points of view. But somehow or another, we have to adjust all these different points of view, and that's called Krishna consciousness. At the four Kumaras, before entering, they were more or less on the platform of Shantarasa. So Shantarasa is not the some of our commentators, some of our acharyas, have explained that Shantarasa is not really one of the rasas, but sometimes it's included as one of the five rasas. And there is different types of Shantaras. There is the Atmaramas, the Dhiras, and finally those who are actually on the platform of Shantaras. In other words, the four Kumaras will be explained to be impersonalists. And therefore, although they're on the platform of Shanta, they're more or less just Atmaramas, or self-satisfied. They realize that they're spiritual beings, but they haven't really fully realized or practically experienced the actual glories of Krishna. Therefore, it's questionable, although it says here, that why would the Lord not permit them to enter into the kingdom of God? On the other hand, it's really questionable whether persons who are in Shantarasa really belong, who are not even on the platform of real Shantarasa, actually belong in the kingdom of God. We don't find many impersonalists entering into the kingdom of God. At least, they belong on the outside of Krishna's kingdom in the Brahmana effulgence. But it's not quite so clear here, because at least the commentator is saying that why shouldn't they be allowed into the kingdom of God? So he's putting his vote for the four Kumaras in this particular verse. Let them in. Let them free or something. On the other hand, if we read the Nectar of Devotion, we'll find out that the four Kumaras are not actually qualified to enter into the kingdom of God. They're qualified to maybe enter outside the kingdom of God. But as time goes on, Krishna, as Narayan, will come forth to solve the particular issue. And therefore, by smelling the tulsi leaves, smelling the sandalwood paste on Lord Krishna's lotus feet, they'll become purified, and they'll actually come to the platform of Shantaras, and therefore they'll become qualified to enter into the kingdom of God. In any case, there are different ways of reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. One of them is trying to get through the class, because after the class there's a reward. It's practically time for prasadam. Besides that, we can sit here and we can make feel good that I was in another class, just like they say, another day, another dollar. So another day, another class. And that somehow or another, because I'm here, I'm a good person. So that's one way of being here. The other way is trying to actually hear, trying to understand what's going on. In other words, devotional service is supposed to be done with one's body, one's mind, and one's words, and ultimately with oneself, the soul. Of course, we have to congratulate everyone who's here, or everyone who's on the other side of this microphone. But because at least we put our bodies here. So therefore, there's some possibility of gaining something Krishna conscious. But the next stage is we have to put our minds here. Putting our minds here means, generally speaking, the material world means a place of anxiety, which is opposed to the place of Vaikuntha. Anxiety means we're attached and we're averse. And that attachment aversion ultimately centers around people. Therefore, we may be thinking about, I don't like the speaker, or I like the speaker, or the speaker is half good and half bad, or whatever. The person next to me, I wish he wasn't next to me, or I'm really happy this person's next to me, and what's going to happen 3 hours from now, and 2 days from now, 50 years from now, what happened 20 years ago, or we may be thinking so many different things. So the next service is actually to put our minds here. That is to actually pay attention. Of course, to pay attention, we require intelligence, how to do it. So part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, even up to the third canto, is trying to encourage us how to use our intelligence so we can pay attention. That there is no need to worry about what's going to happen in the future, because we can be guaranteed in Kali Yuga everything bad is going to happen in the future. You don't have to worry about it. It's all going to be different varieties of misery. And the more you're expecting something good to happen, then the more you'll be disappointed, the more miserable you'll become. So we don't have to worry about the future. As far as the past, well, we all know it's all miserable. It is all, you know, more or less a disappointment. It wasn't what we expected. And it won't be exactly as nice as we want it to be in the future. Therefore, the idea is to spend a few minutes trying to get something out of the class of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's to bring the mind here. And then the next intelligence. Intelligence means we have to learn how to manipulate the mind in such a way as to get the maximum benefit from what we're doing presently. So here we've heard that these books are special. Because they're special because if we know how to read them, then we can actually experience them. The soul can actually experience them. And when the soul experiences them, then, or these words, then that's called spiritual advancement. So part of that experience means we have to actually experience them. In other words, we have to first become conscious of what's going on here. Otherwise, we won't know how to experience it. Of course, here is a description. I don't know how many of you remember what this description in this particular verse. This is called Mantra City. Mantra City, as composed of Swarasaki, Mantra Upasana. That is worship of the mantra, the great personalities who have visualized and experiencing these particular pastimes. They've written these pastimes in the form of mantras. And by studying the mantra, we get a little snapshot of the transcendental realm. And therefore, by deep study of this particular mantra, we can actually get the transcendental momentary experience that's being explained here from many, many points of view. It's a multidimensional snapshot from multidimensional points of view. And it simply requires a little bit of training and intelligence how to actually enter into the kingdom of God through this snapshot. At least, as much as we apply ourselves, we should be able to, by the mercy of use of our intelligence, as Prabhupada explains, by the use of this book, and ultimately by the mercy of Krishna. In other words, the attitude has to be there that I can enter into this book if I get the mercy of Krishna, and Krishna's mercy is coming to me through the mercy of his devotees, who are acting as his instruments. In other words, we have to also understand what we're doing, what, at least theoretically, what is the situation of the class that's going on, and what is the possibility that I can actually experience what's being talked about here. So that's called we have to use our intelligence, and that by such use of intelligence, we can come to the transcendental experience. Otherwise, if we don't apply our intelligence in that way, will remain on the material experience, either high material experience or low material experience. So here a description is given, four little naked boys. So we can imagine that why should four little naked boys be allowed into the kingdom of God? Now first of all, we have to wonder whether the gatekeepers, every day they find four little naked boys trying to break into the kingdom of God. In other words, we have to take it for granted that probably it's not a common experience and that the gatekeepers are not so less intelligent that they think that, you know, where these little boys come from. Obviously, they must have come from somewhere. They didn't think they just popped out of nowhere. So to get that far, they must have done something because most people, to get to the kingdom of God, they have to be a little qualified. We may want to get to the kingdom of God right now, but I don't think we have any means of getting out of the coverings of the universe, however they did it, going all the way past the Brahma Jyoti and winding up at the gates of Vaikuntha, pass through six of them, and then suddenly they're there. So the gatekeepers, somehow or another, they're in this mentality. It's an unusual experience, and later on some of the explanation will be given. In any case, right now, the point of view from the speaker is what's going on. How these gatekeepers come into this particular mentality of stopping these four little boys without asking them anything, without understanding anything about the situation. They got it wrong. And why did the four Kumaras who were on Shantarasa suddenly become angry? And how do they know why the gatekeepers stopped them? It's all nonverbal. And then we'll find out that everyone got it wrong. Or maybe they didn't get it wrong. It's all Krishna's pastime, and maybe it has a purpose behind it. In any case, the description of the kingdom of God is given that everyone is there is Krishna conscious. Otherwise, you can't be in the kingdom of God unless you're in the particular mentality of service to Krishna. And service to Krishna is pointed out here, which is quite fitting, that the Lord is always anxious to serve sages like the Kumaras. So generally we think that the Lord is very anxious to be served. But here it says the Lord is anxious to serve his devotees, or even those who are not quite like devotees. The Kumaras were not quite devotees, but still the Lord is anxious to serve them because he knows that they're devotees by nature, by inherently. So the Lord is anxious to serve them, but the gatekeepers are stopping them. So somehow or another, there's some disparity on the part of the gatekeepers. They're not in harmony with the Lord's desire. Or maybe they are in harmony with the Lord's desire, but apparently they're not. Later on we'll find out that actually they're not really so far away from the Lord's desire, because it's the Lord's desire that this pastime go on. And it's the Lord's desire that this situation be manifested for many different reasons, way beyond all the reasons we could possibly think of right now, but for many, many different reasons this pastime is going on. Perhaps one of them is to show that it's not possible to fall out of the kingdom of God. Or that if one does fall out of the kingdom of God, somehow or another, sometimes it's by Krishna's pastime, by Krishna's will, for some other purpose, to help bring the conditioned souls back to the kingdom of God. That sometimes Krishna will send his representatives in many unusual ways to help bring Krishna's other children back to the kingdom of God. Otherwise, we don't really think that Krishna, he just had a bad day and he wanted to fight with someone. Therefore, he decided to kick out some of his confidential servants, throw them into the material world, and have a good fight with them. Although Krishna certainly has that propensity to fight, but his fighting propensity serves the purpose of trying to please his devotees, or even those who are not quite his devotees. In other words, Krishna is going through so much trouble to bring the conditioned souls back to the spiritual world. So, similarly, the inference is made here that the Kumaras, who seemingly are quite qualified, why should they be stopped? Krishna is so anxious to get everyone back to the kingdom of God, so why should the four Kumaras be stopped from entering? But they're being stopped from entering ultimately to serve Krishna's purpose of helping bring more conditioned souls back to the kingdom of God. So all these different amazing depths of the pastime can be examined. But the first thing is that we do is have to realize how nice the kingdom of God is. Otherwise, why would Krishna be anxious out of love to bring everyone back to it? And how miserable the material consciousness is. That a little bit of material consciousness, we find that even the gatekeepers wind up for a little while in the material world, some millions of years, in different forms of demons fighting against God. Just a little mistake, a little twitch of the eye or something, and you wind up in the material world. you look at the wrong person at the wrong time in the wrong way, and you wind up getting cursed, and before you know it, you know, you're in downtown L.A. trying to get a dime. So how much is the razor's edge, but on the other hand, we'll find out how concerned Krishna is to adjust everything best possible way so that everyone becomes satisfied, how expert Krishna is. In any case, so as I was mentioning, first of all, we have to take up the Bhagavatam, hear the Bhagavatam. We bring our bodies here. Then we have to pay attention with our minds to the subject matter. We have to believe that this is actually beneficial to pay attention, that all my hankering and lamentation, all my anxiety won't actually prove very beneficial in comparison to just trying to pay a little attention to what's going on in the Bhagavatam. And then when I read the Bhagavatam, I can't think that it's just some printed words on a printed page and it's just like every other experience I ever had, and you just get through it and maybe you pick up some, you know, words or two that you can say later on in case you have to give a class so you don't look like a complete fool. In other words, we have to think, what is my goal in reading the Bhagavatam or in hearing the Bhagavatam or in speaking the Bhagavatam? My idea is to get into the kingdom of God right then, if possible, to enter onto the spiritual platform of consciousness. And it's possible by understanding the pastime, especially the mood of the pastime, the mood of service to Krishna, and then try to enter into that mood to actually understand it as deeply as possible. Probably the first thing we have to do is visualize what's going on. Because words are meant, they mean something. If we read four boy sages and we see four old men, we haven't really read it properly. So we have to see four little boy sages, Sanatana, Sanakana, Sanatana, Sunat Kumara. We have to see them and they're completely naked. And they looked only 5 years old. So the first thing we do is have to see the sages, even though they're the oldest of all living creatures and had realized the truth of the self. So quite intelligent little boys. But then there's two porters on the gates of Vaikuntha. And the whole atmosphere of Vaikuntha we can imagine to be quite free of anxiety. Everything there is full of pleasure. And there is, description has been given of very beautiful doors and flowers and all kinds of beautiful celestial animals. Everything is very beautiful, the atmosphere, everything is absolutely, perfectly clean and peaceful. No anxiety, beyond Brahman, and they're about to enter in. It seems like quite an ordinary thing. And suddenly they see two gatekeepers, and they appear to be somewhat disturbed. Of course, if you find two people guarding a door around here, and they, as a described here, that they have they appeared somewhat agitated, discontented nostrils and reddish eyes. You wouldn't think, well, I'm going to call the police. And the police come and they, you know, say, what's wrong? Look at this person, he has reddish eyes. I tried to enter into the temple and he looked at me and his eyes became reddish. Arrest him and send him to jail. The policeman will probably think that, you know, arrest you for what's wrong with you? So such a little discrepancy, reddish eyes, discontented nostrils, and they just held their stick slightly in the wrong way. They didn't even question them. You know, what are you doing? You know, we want to see Narayan. Nothing went on. Immediately they said, we curse you, go to hell. So you think, wow, these are little heavy guys. Wouldn't like to meet them downtown L.A. So this will have to be explained more deeply, otherwise we'll probably misunderstand the whole pastime. In any case, we have to imagine what the atmosphere is like and how out of place the Kumaras were. Just because there was a slight discrepancy in the atmosphere, how they became agitated. Atmanam manite jagat, that you see others according to your own mentality. Because they were not quite pure devotees yet, still, somehow or another, they became transcendentally agitated or some kind of agitation. And therefore, later on, they'll have to regret their agitation by seeing other people's agitation. And then the whole thing will be adjusted when we understand what it's really all about. In any case, by understanding this more deeply, then our minds will expand and we'll be able to appreciate this wonderful pastime that's going on. And then we'll be able to enter into it. And if we ever do get to the gates of Vaikuntha, then even if someone stops us for a few seconds, we won't get all disturbed. We'll remember the pastime of the Kumaras and know that Lord Narayan's is on his way out to help us. Anyhow, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Why not? Just like when Krishna entered into the arena to battle against the Mustika, Chanura, Shala, Toshala, the wrestlers. So everyone saw Krishna, but they saw him according to their particular mentality. The wrestlers saw him as a thunderbolt. Kamsa saw him as death personified. Mother Devaki and Vasudeva and Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda saw him as their most beloved child. The Yadu dynasty saw him as their most illustrious descendant. The young girl saw him as Cupid personified. Everyone saw him in a different... The persons who were less intelligent saw him as a fool. So everyone saw Krishna, but they saw him according to their mentality. So just seeing Krishna is not enough to actually understand Krishna. Even seeing him in ecstasy, the impersonalists, as the Kumaras were, they were able to visualize Krishna, but from their particular point of view, Krishna had appeared to them. Actually, Krishna is everywhere. There's nothing but Krishna, and Krishna is energy. But according to our mood, that's how we're experiencing Krishna, his reciprocation. Here in the material world, we experience him as Maya is kicking us for trying to become Krishna. And the spiritual world, even up to the impersonal level, there may be even some transcendental experience of happiness or ecstasy, but if one is thinking oneself to be Krishna in some way, or one has the wrong conception of Krishna, the experience is still incomplete. Only through the following the footsteps of a devotee of Krishna and developing a devotional attitude, a service attitude, then Krishna gradually is able to reveal himself as he actually is to the devotee, according to his relationship, according to the devotee we're following. Is that right? Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.